you're probably wondering what is going on. This isn't what we typically see. But last week, Phil Robertson, our preacher, presented a lesson on shepherds, servants, and stewards, the role of godly leaders, because we're in the process of looking for shepherds and deacons in the congregation. And so today, the shepherds are going to just talk to the congregation, and we've each prepared some thoughts, and we're just going to share what shepherding has meant to each of us. And so if you're visiting with us, we apologize you don't get to hear us a typical lesson, but hopefully you can glean some lessons from our thoughts here today, and we thank you for being here with us. So the purpose of us presenting today is so that we can express to those men, especially those men that are looking to serve in this role, the challenges, the obstacles that we've seen as we've served. We want to be open and honest with what we've seen. We also want to share the rewards that we felt through this. I know for myself, since I became an elder, there's been this level of inadequacy that I've felt. Just always feeling like I've got to learn more. I've got to pray more. I've got to do a better job of visiting. There's always improvements to be made. And that weighs on you. You feel that. And as you think about that, it's a good thing, and it's something that everyone, all of us in this room, should feel. We should always be striving to improve and to grow, to serve better. Anytime we can learn to better serve our King, it's a good thing. And so that constant need of growth is something we all should feel. And I know I've learned as I've worked with these men. It was actually Mother's Day 4 years ago that I became an elder. And
happy anniversary.
It's kind of ironic that we're having this today, but it's been wonderful. It's been wonderful to serve, and it's because of the wonderful flock we have here, this wonderful congregation. I know we all share in just our love of the congregation. And 4 years ago when I became an elder, I'd been a deacon for 7 years before that. And I was a little naive in thinking, well, the time I put into being a deacon, I'll just shift that time over, and now I'm in that different role. And I hear some chuckles, and that's probably people who have been in that role. Because it just takes more time than what I really thought at the time. And I had men sitting next to me, and my own father who told me differently, but in your head you don't comprehend it. And so I'm going to share that with the men who are looking at taking on this role, and maybe you won't hear it. I hope you will, just to realize. And again, in everything we share today, it's not complaining. And you'll see as I get towards the closing of my statements, it's just sharing and being open and honest with these men. But the time you spend in meetings and in calls, and just in further studying and learning and meditating and praying, constant praying. That's the level that I never realized. Another thing you'll realize that a lot of that, of course, goes unnoticed, because that's not why you're doing it. And it may not always be
appreciated, though many times people share with us, you know, their appreciation, and we're so grateful. That's not why we do this. We do this to serve the King, for the love of Him and for the love of His flock here. That's the whole reason we do this. And so what we've done over the past year, as you've seen, our vision is kingdom citizens sharing the light of Christ to the world. We took and we made our vision statement. We basically put everything out on the table and we said, what will help us get laser focused? And so everything we do is very purpose driven. And everything we do, we look back and make sure it's pointing us in that direction. And when you look at that statement, what conclusions can you come to when you hear that? First, you think of the respect and honor that you must show the King. Kingdom citizens. We're citizens of a kingdom. We show respect and honor to the King. If you respect and honor Him, what will you do? You will adhere to His commandments. You will obey His commandments. And then if you're following His commandments, what will you do? You will share the light of Christ. And what does that mean? That means that you will radiate that King's love and peace and hope. And that's something all of us should be doing, showing others that transformative power of Jesus. And whether you're a leader here in church or you're a leader at home, it all applies. It's the same, it should be the same no matter what. In Philippians 6, chapter 16, verse 9, it says, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. That shows the reliance we should have on God. And if we honor Him, our plans will revolve around that. And even when it doesn't go right, we still honor and glorify Him in everything and let Him direct our steps. So as I wrap up my thoughts, what is it that keeps a shepherd going? It is the love of the Lord. It is the love of His flock. We truly, all the men up here, love the Lord's people. We love the people here. And it's wonderful when people share their appreciation. We're so grateful for that. But you got to understand, we just love the people. And when you're here, and when you're serving the King, that's what makes us happy. That's what makes us rejoice, is when the people are serving the King. Because we know one day we will answer for that. And we're saddened when someone falls away. But we rejoice whenever someone comes back. Someone makes the choice to serve. We're just so grateful. It truly comes down to love. And that's why we do what we do. And I know from the past 4 years that these men sitting next to me truly love the congregation. And I can't wait to hear what they have to say. So I'll let them continue.
So you're getting the kind of the rookie. rookie views here. I mean, I'm not technically a rookie. I don't know how many years I've served, but it's 8 to 10. But compared to these two men, that's still a rookie because they have over 30 years of experience as shepherds. So Eric and I are going to go first so you can just hear our piece and then listen to the wisdom of Ronnie and Mickey. But there's really only two things that I want to just bring up and talk. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about selecting men, elders, shepherds, and deacons, to work with this church family. But really, Mickey, back in January, said, hey, y'all need to be looking because it's not far before I'm going to be stepping down. And so that kind of drummed up a little bit of conversation. Well, then who do we need to be looking for? And so conversations have been happening. And I know they've been happening because they've been happening in my family, and I've heard it from other people about whose names are you hearing? And the names that you're going to be hearing are not just the names of the men and what kind of men they are. I'm a wimp, sorry. But we're all wimps when it comes to trying to do this job without wives, without the most godly, humble servants who don't seek any recognition, who just labor, just work, and then deal with the kind of whatever emotions we come home with from whatever bad things we may be dealing with. We unload, and they have to absorb it, and then they have to help us. And I'm going to tell you, if you're just looking at the men, you'll make a bad, bad, bad decision, bad choice. Because the backbone of a good shepherd, the strength that he gets, of course, from the Lord, but in this work, is from his wife. It really. Should have started with that. But anyways, what I wanted you to know, there are two things that I really want to talk about. And it deals with the shepherds, and it deals with their wives. When I first came to Valrico, there were 70, 80 people in this congregation. Not many more. And I remember coming in, and I didn't know anybody. I knew of Marty Pickup, but I didn't know anybody else in this group. And they received me and staff so well, so warmly. And I remember thinking, I don't know these people. I'm going to post myself right here. There's only one door in and one door out. I'm posting myself here, and I'm going to get to know everybody. And I think it kind of was a little weird maybe for some folks. Because one guy, and I'll never forget this, came up to me and he said, what are you doing? You auditioning for a deacon job or something? And I thought, well, you know, that's one way to look at it, right? But no, I just don't know anybody. And this is the only way I know how to meet people. But it made an impression on me when he said that. What are you doing? Are you just auditioning? Because let me just say this to you. If the only thing you know about the men that you're considering for this role and their wives is what you've learned from this auditorium or the lobby or the parking lot, you don't know them like you should. Hospitality. When Paul writes to Titus and he talks about overseers and he lists the things that they should not be, the kind of characteristics that they should not exhibit, he then starts out with hospitality. Why in the world? When we look at qualifications of men for shepherds, we talk about a list of different things, really, first. But I'm going to tell you, Paul says hospitality because that's how the flock knows the shepherd. And that's how the flock knows the shepherd's family and their wives. And you don't make a good one if you're just auditioning. You make a good one when the flock knows you.
Not after you're selected. That's not when you become hospitable. You become a shepherd because you demonstrate that. And wives, that puts a huge onus on you because it's your home where that takes place. We don't look at hospitality the way they did in the first century. The first century, the way we look at hospitality is, well, how much time do you spend with your friend group? How many of your friends do you have over? How often is your house hosting social events for your friends? That's not hospitality. Hospitality in the first century was offered to those you don't know. They're not your clique. They're not the people you hang out with. They're not your softball group. They're people that need the encouragement, that need to be fed, that need to be loved. And that's something you do long before. It's your reputation long before you're asked to serve as a shepherd. And I want you to think about that in advance. You ever been to their home? Do you even know where they live? Is that a quality of theirs? Or is all you know about their family what you've learned and observed here? I would suggest that you consider that seriously. The second one, and this is one that any man who is going to serve as a shepherd and their wives need to understand. When we started studying Isaiah, you think about Isaiah. Do you consider him one of the great prophets of Israel? Anybody? I mean, I do. You look at Elijah, you consider him one of the great prophets of Israel? I mean, I do. Did you ever really consider their success rate at doing what God handpicked them to go and do? Think of all the prophets, all of them. All right, Jonah was a success, but with Nineveh, I mean, how much impact, how many times did the prophets that God handpicked for the nation of Israel to go to them and bring them back to me? Listen to what David's been talking about in our auditorium class, Isaiah's success. It's not going to be successful. Jeremiah, as he said this morning, didn't even make an attempt. All he said is, this is going to be what happens to you. Good luck in captivity. And the reason I bring this up, and I'm going to confess to you, I remember within just a couple of weeks after I was appointed a shepherd, I remember a father coming to me and saying, hey, I need to meet with you after services. We've got some issues with our family. Oh, all right. This is my first opportunity as a shepherd to do something shepherding-wise, right? As an elder. And they need me because I'm wise and I've been selected amongst the congregation and all these things. So I was excited to be able to go and sit with this family and to figure out what I could do to fix their problems. I worked with that family and the other families that were connected to it that it kind of just rippled out for well over a year. And it didn't do any good. At least not measurably speaking. I did the best I could with what I knew to say and do, and I prayed fervently. But if you weigh the success of me as how valuable a shepherd I am, by the successes or failures of the brethren that I have worked with for over marriages and over their family issues and whatever it might be, I don't know of any of them that I would say, you really won that one because of what you did to help. And that's discouraging sometimes. Now, you may be thinking, Haley, we need to reevaluate you. We would have liked to known this in advance, right? And I don't blame you. I don't blame you. But I do want you to know that shepherds, as hard as they may work, and as hard as their wives may support them, you're going to deal with a lot of failure, just like the prophets of Israel did. And let me tell you something. You're just not as good as you may think you are. I certainly have learned that the hard way. I thought I could fix really anything if I just knew what to say, said it the right way. Oh, boy. But I'm just not that good. And shepherds labor together. Shepherds' wives labor together. And they deal with a lot of hardships that sometimes just aren't fixed. And you have to carry that. And there may have been things that I could have said, things I could have done, which might have had a positive impact and could have been better. But at the end of the day, you're dealing with people. And people are going to do what people want to do. And you can beg them, you can plead with them, you can encourage them, you can do whatever you want. But at the end of everything, they are going to do either submit themselves to God and give their lives to him, or they're going to do what they want to do. And oftentimes, they do what they want to do. So I just want those two things, hospitality and a realization of the weight and your limitations. Because wives, you'll have to help bear that for your husbands. Because it's burdensome when you feel you failed at things. And I have failed at lots of things. So just consider those things. And consider those things with your wives. And consider those things regarding hospitality with the men and women that you're looking at.
Boy, I have to follow that now.
You don't have to stand up.
I won't stand up. I'll fall down if I stand up. That's why I lean on the pulpit when I'm up there talking to you. 30 years ago, I was selected to be an elder in the Valroku congregation, and it was humbling. I mean, the congregation had been established for 14 years prior to that. We've had a few elders in the congregation, but they had stepped down because one had moved away and the other one stepped down because there was only one elder. But 30 years we were selected, and how humble that was to me, that not knowing that so many people were watching me and grooming me between that 14 years, it's humbling to know that you're being watched. You are being scrutinized by what you're doing, your actions, your family. It's all there, I mean, in front of everyone. And they are watching. And I'd like to talk to the men that are wanting or yearning to be a elder or a shepherd. It's not that easy, as John was saying, and as Eric has said also. It affects not only you personally, but again, as they have said, it affects your family. A strong family. I believe that's why they say to have believing children, because they also help you throughout some of the hard times, some of the times that you come home after a long night of discussion or being taken away from the dinner table because someone's having a problem that needs to speak to you, needs prayers, holding someone's hand as they're passing from this world to the next. It's hard. It's very hard. But you go home, there's that sweet family backing you up, encouraging you, understanding what it takes. As one of the daughters, I asked them before talking today, What did it meant to you, what did it meant to you, or how did it affect you, me being an elder? They were all teenagers, except I believe Amber was 12 years old at the time. And they're believers. But she said, Daddy, Mama would always remind us that Daddy's gone because he's doing God's business. He's trying to help someone else. The family is very important. Just like this family right here, we hold dear to our heart. You are our family. You're an extension to our family. And we take it very seriously. And those men that we look at, we want to encourage them that it's not an easy job, but there are rewards to it. There are the rewards of those that come back to the Lord, those that are getting baptized, the rewards of just being together, sharing, loving one another. It's so fulfilling to us. There's three things that I wanted to talk to the men that might be contemplating on maybe becoming a shepherd. And those things are to serve, to know, and to be a leader. To serve, I picked a passage out of Philippians 2, 3 through 4. And it reads, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but for the interests of others. We're not doing this for accolation or those who pat on the back or anything. We're doing this as a service, serving others. And sometimes that is hard, as I had said before. But the verbiage in there that the verbiage that said, regard one another as more important than yourself. We take that to heart. You don't know how many times that we go into prayer just for others. How many times we are out serving others. It's something that we take very seriously, serving all of you as part of our family. And it's an honor to serve the family that we have here at Valrica. The other thing I was told you was to know your flock, to know those that you are serving, that are you trying to lead. And the passage I picked was John 10:4. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. We need to know one another. We need to converse. We need to talk. That's why we as shepherds have the groups that we have, so we can get to know one another a little bit better than what we just being here, just showing up. How can I help you if I don't know you? How can I know your needs? How can I plan ahead what we need to be talking about in our classes without knowing you? It's hard to know all of you. I confess I don't know all of you. I don't know you personally as deep as I should probably. But as a group, we share those things with one another. And that's what one that comes in that will serve, we'll have a group and get to know them. And then we'll switch those groups over and we'll get to know others. But we need to know who we are shepherding and who we're leading. The third thing I want to speak to you is about the leadership. And leadership is to guide individuals or groups toward achieving a common goal, setting a vision motivating others. And that's what we feel is very important to us, to lead you. I worked quite a bit in cattle in the past. And cattle, you drive them. And boy, do they get crazy. I mean, it's a hard job. You don't drive people. You lead people by example. We need men with loving hearts, men who have care for the Lord and His word. We need men that will spend the time with others in hospitality, to share things with others that are so important to them. To those men that might be considering, or not now, maybe down the road, to be shepherds, or already leaders in their own family, think about it. Your family, you're already leading them to a certain goal, and goals for your children. Let's get through high school. Let's get through college. Let's get through this. Let's get through marriage. You're leading them. You're leading them also in a goal, being here, to the goal that we all want to be at one time, you know, is to be with our Heavenly Father. You're already teaching by example in your family. So those things, serving, knowing your people, and leading, is the three things I think are so important to the men that might consider being a shepherd here at Valrica. We, as elders, we don't always get along. We don't always agree. We don't always see things the same, correct?
What?
Huh?
You're being rude.
I'm being truthful. I won't go there, John. But that's life, isn't it? Do you always agree with your spouse? Do you always agree with all the things? That is life. That's what makes it so good to have so many that are diverse and so many things that we can bring up and talk about to help one another and eventually helping our flock here at Valrica. We love you. We love you all. You are our family. We look forward in leading you. Sometimes it's difficult, but there is rewards. Right, Mickey? I'm going to let Mickey finish up here, okay?
Y'all notice I've got one little sheet here. Really, one little sheet.
And 2 minutes.
Only 2 minutes?
You got 2 minutes.
2 minutes. I can't do it all in 2 minutes, but I'll give you a quick overview. Our congregation had its inception in about 81, and we left the Brandon congregation in good order. There was no breakup or no conflict. We had four or five families that was wanting to start another work, and so we went to the Civic Building down here in Bloomingdale where they play ball. And that little Civic Building, we started worshiping there, covered the piano. But anyway, we shortly found the property that's next to us over here, and we built our first original building, about a 30 by 40 auditorium and three classrooms. And at that time, we were about 30 or 40 people, 50 maybe at the most. Marty Pickup come to preach for us, and we started growing, and this guy here, he showed up.
Five kids.
Yeah, about five kids. But anyway, no, you didn't have them all. They were three. You know, two of them were born at the church. But anyway, not at the building. But anyway, Ronnie, Dave Hunt, and I were selected as an elder in 95. I don't know exactly what month it was or whatever, but that was 30 years ago. And I don't know where all that 30 years has gone, but I was 45 years old. So that'll give you some idea. I'm 75 now, or close to it. Things have been very, very good, and things have been not so good along the way as an elder. And I'm trying to speak to the men that are really considering desiring the office in the same way that 1 Timothy 3 says, if you aspire to the office, you aspire good work. And I'm trying to appeal to you with that. It gives qualifications or qualities in a person. But whatever you do, the first time you're selected as an elder, you're going to start learning. It's a learning process, and these two younger men up here will tell you it was surprising in ways. We have members in this congregation right now, and I'm not going to point them out, but they had marital problems, and they're still together now because we worked with them, and they were willing to make it work, like the scripture says. And if you're interested in becoming a servant, and I don't mean in a deacon way, I mean in a spiritual way for the congregation, then you are looking for a good work. It's not a service job. I mean, it is a service job. It's not a self-service job. If you're looking for acclaim and popularity, you're looking wrong place, right? Okay. The overseer he's overseeing the spiritual growth of the congregation. And the deacons then take care of the manual work and the labor, and sometimes us elders get involved in that too. But our goal is to make sure that the congregation is being fed. And if you're interested in that, we recommend going for it. It's not something that you need to be afraid of. Younger men, don't be afraid you're going to not meet the task of the job. There's a learning part of it, and you're not going to be right off the bat great. I mean, you're just going to learn. These two men will testify to that. But you don't come into the eldership with the idea that you're going to rule the eldership. That's not the idea. That's not the purpose. You've got to be together, unified. When you leave a meeting, you hug, right?
Always do.
And
sometimes through gritted teeth, but we always do.
And you always work it out. If you want to be a servant in the church and you have no opinion, you have no business being in the service of the Lord in the church. So you can't be not afraid to express your opinion. You want to be scriptural in everything you do. That's foremost, is you want to be scriptural according to the scriptures. But there's different methods, different ways. I'll tell you, when I was a little boy in church, the overhead projector was about liberal. You know, if it went from a chalkboard to an overhead projector, you better watch it, you know. Now, you have to have, in this capacity, you have to have a means of judging what is right and what's wrong, what's scriptural and what's not. And I'm telling you ahead of time, that's coming up. That's going to be part of it. But I don't want to discourage you. You can work it out. That's why we have the scriptures.
Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
Just the judgment part of it, he's saying, you have to understand we all have to make judgments, but we're not the judge, right?
Absolutely.
There's a big difference. You need to make judgments with all humility, recognizing your limitations are severe. They really are.
Look, I'll just hand you this back.
No, no, no. I knew that.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I'm just trying to, get everyone to understand that our goal is to grow in Christ and to be a servant of His and a servant of each other. No matter if you're a member or if you're a deacon or you're an elder or you're just whatever, you're a servant. That's what we're all to do, is we're a servant. Now, our role, and this just doesn't encompass everything, by no means, but I just picked out four highlights. Stay the course. Stay the course. And speak in the mic. Lead by example. Lead by example. Ronnie mentioned that. You have to do that. If you don't have a good example, you don't have anything. You can't push the flock, you lead the flock. You have to keep the faith, and that's the ultimate thing you need to do, is keep the faith. You need to stay grounded in the scriptures. And our goal as elders, and I hope other men are willing to take this on, is to not lose a single soul. Amen.
Well, we wanted to offer a period of time for questions and answers. We ran a little long, but does anyone have anything that they wanted to ask any of the shepherds up here?
Thank you.
So we've talked about, he asked how many men we're looking to put in. Initially, we're looking about 2 to 3 and get them in, get them in the flow of things, and then from there we would hope to add some more further down the road. Is there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll be adding deacons as well. Is there any other questions anyone has? Of course, you can come and talk to us anytime. We never want to leave without the opportunity to offer an invitation, and we will have an invitation song at this time. And I know what we've discussed today isn't our typical lesson format, but we hope that you've seen the heart of servants in us. And that's what we all strive to be, is servants of the King. And if you're struggling in that, if you need help in being a better servant, or maybe you want to make the decision to become a servant, we ask at this time that you would come forward as we stand and sing.